Welcome back to Left Out on WRCT 88.3 FM. We're talking this evening with Dave Tessiter, who runs an organization called Pittsburgh Area New Direction Alternative, or PANDA, which you can see in the pandapage.org, www.pandapage.org. Listeners are welcome to call us at 412-268-9728, and I believe we have a caller in the line. Caller, go ahead.
Hi. I worked for a county planning commission between 73 and 79 within the southwestern region. I was not a professional planner, but I was in a planning department. And I would have to say that even the professional planners are extremely naive about the movers and the shakers and who causes things to get done. Now, I'm speaking as a person who worked in a planning department.
Right.
And one of the things that really was notable to me from my experience working there was that if I had not worked in a planning commission, I would have been even more ignorant. American citizens are like children or adolescents who don't really understand where things come from. You know, it's like whether you're talking about babies or the water, or, you know, you push the little handle on the toilet and it's gone.
So give us an example of what you have in mind. You obviously have something in mind.
Well, yes. I think for anybody to make any kind of progress, I think we have to almost start at the beginning and try to develop maybe some kind of teaching materials or programs on television or something that would actually take people through some of the basic things about infrastructure and the economics, which would be very controversial because as children we're not supposed to know what Santa Claus is doing when he puts the presents out. So whether you're talking about reporters who are ignorant and naive or professional planners who are ignorant or naive. I mean, these are the people that are supposedly, you know, the conduits of information. And the reality is they're ignorant. So it's very difficult to find someone who can actually, you know, take the scales from our eyes and see how all of these things fit together and what's, you know, how a society makes progress.
So do you have an example from your experience in the Planning Commission of what the public, where the public perception of what was going on was vastly different from what you would say is was really going on?
Well, for example, flood control. I mean, that's the easy one that comes to your mind. I can remember the county commissioners being so proud of a flood control project that was on a creek. And, of course, the truth is that if you prevent flooding in one area, you're increasing the flooding downstream.
Right. Upstream.
Downstream.
she's right.
Okay. So anyway, I mean, but you could go on like that with almost every subject. And I'm sure this is true with a lot of these highway projects.
Unintended consequences.
And you know, as I said, first you're starting out with people who are profoundly ignorant, which is, you know. Strive in vain. But it would be very, just to give you an example, though, for example, if we're talking about southwestern Pennsylvania, it would, for openers, it would be very good for someone to be able to give an economic history of this area and show how decisions were made, whether it was where railroads went or flood control projects or any big infrastructure things. It might be interesting to be able to provide that kind of a history up to the present so that people can actually see the context. We never see our context. Everything is always what happened this week or last year,
right?
But we don't get that historic context.
Right, and when I write the articles for, I do some op-ed pieces occasionally with the PG, and the remark, the last one, which was on the transit funding, that is the articles before the Senate now, was, oh, it's too historical. But I would say that when you're talking about the educational issue, what we did with the citizen advisory panel approach that we used at the that we started at SPRPC was we set up a panel that anybody could join. There was not the it wasn't a panel you had to be appointed to or sit in a waiting line on or anything. Anybody could come in at any point to any meeting and start getting involved. And we had with people coming back the opportunity for them to learn more about this as we had staff coming before explaining things and as other members were asking questions and they could ask, you know, share their information, et cetera. And so that process was a very good process for getting, though it was a small number of people as far as the total population of the region, to get some people in there. And that's how we uncovered the fraud, that it was because we had citizens in there asking questions. And so what we're proposing for the city of Pittsburgh now is a thing called an open government amendment where we would require more information to be put online. We require all the meetings to be webcast. And I'm here at CMU, of course, and CMU has offered actually to help with the webcasting of the public meetings and doing a demonstration project. So I'm very happy for that. But the real meat and the potatoes of the whole thing, I think, is a citizen advisory panel for the whole city that it would set up, because anybody could join, start getting involved, start learning what things are. Yes, they're coming in because of something in their own backyard, but once they get in there, they normally get their eyes opened. Some people just get overwhelmed and leave. Others may figure they've dealt with whatever they can, but there is still a percentage that will stay on because they realize, wait a second, this problem is bigger than what I thought it was, and nobody else is doing something. I've got to get involved, and they start stepping up and going at various levels. So we've got a very strong proposal. It's fairly comprehensive. It's more than I can really go into in great depth in the time we have, but it is online at openpgh or openpittsburgh.org, and people are welcome to see that. We're going to be circulating petitions this summer. We had hoped to put it on the ballot actually a year or so ago. Each election cycle, we've been generating more organization and people involved, and we're hoping that this coming summer we'll be collecting a number of signatures for that.
Well, I think that sounds like a really fantastic thing you're doing. As I said, though, I think, you know, if we look at this situation long term and covering a lot of different subjects, I still say we have to come back to having some kind of a written history or a documentary or something that would give people this context. I mean, if you're talking about transportation, as I said, show how government and business and everything have from the beginning up to the present. And, you know, of course, it can just be done superficially, but still, the context.
Mm-hmm. Now, the problem is that our news media, both locally and nationally, have failed us in this role.
Well, in fact, John Craig had I want to try and locate it because I've misplaced the clipping, but he did a editorial just two or three years ago where he explained, it was kind of a, no, Virginia, there is no Santa Claus. And in this little editorial, he explained that newspapers are businesses, and it's not the responsibility of a business to give people what they need. They have to provide what they will pay for.
This is a disaster.
Right. So, I mean, one example of the history, I mean, going way, way back to, I don't know when it was, and I think the 40s, 50s, and 60s, when Los Angeles was pretty much decided to tear out all their trolley lines because of the lobbying from GM and the tire industry.
Right.
Because we don't want that. You want cars and tires.
Actually more forceful than that. Firestone, GM, and Standard Oil set up two corporations, National City Lines and American City Lines, that went and bought up. One of them bought up publicly held transit companies. The other bought up privately held transit companies, tore out the rail, put in buses, having created permanent customers for themselves, then turned them back over to the municipalities.
Right.
And in Pittsburgh, we didn't have them. We had Gulf Oil, Alcoa, and Westinghouse coming together to get rid of our system here.
Right.
At the time, it was the most extensive in the world as far as light rail.
I knew a woman, she was nearly 100 years old at the time. I knew her in Washington, and she told about the trolley from Washington to Pittsburgh, and there was even a theater car, so you could go to the theater in Pittsburgh.
Well, there was
the way back to Washington.
At one point, you could go all the way from Baltimore to Milwaukee with a handful of transfers on light rail and on streetcars. But the one of the things, in getting back to the something that they're going to be trying to talk about in a little bit here, when you talked about the decision making, after we exposed all the fraud, they pulled the plug on the citizen advisory panel. We were so effective, they had to get rid of us, you see. But near the end of that, I went to one of the members, Ray Reeves, who was on the commission member, and I said, look, we've 4 years now we've been working at this, and we're still trying to figure out who actually makes the decisions, because the commission members just come in, show up, and rubber stamp everything. And the staff lays this out, but who's actually deciding what the staff's laying out?
Right, that's the big question.
And
right.
I said, you know, you're a commission member. Who's actually making these decisions? And he said, well, as near as he could figure, it was the Allegheny Conference. Now, the Allegheny Conference is one that actually started SPRPC. They started the Port Authority. They started the Urban Redevelopment Authority. They started all of these factors that we have that have been causing so many of these problems. And so it is important for people to understand this history and to find more out going online. The pandapage.org is one effort that I have. It needs to be revamped. I apologize if there's any broken links or anything on it, but I've been so busy I haven't had a whole lot of chance to get everything done. I started Pittsburgh Freenet, which is a web hosting for any nonprofits that took over from the library system when they cut out the Three Rivers Freenet. So we are offering that for new organizations, new citizen groups that want to get started and need internet access to be able to come on board for no cost. We will help them get started, and we provide a number of services that way.
So, good. Thank you very much. David Tessitore has been with us. That his webpage is www.pandapage.org, which is the Pittsburgh Area New Direction Initiative. And he also made reference to his open government amendment to the Pittsburgh City Charter, which you can see at openpgh.org. Thank you, caller, for calling in. And thank you, David, for appearing on Left Out. We'll take a brief break and be back in a few minutes.